As the mindfulness and awareness gain strength, gain momentum, become more what is conditioned, and what is conditioning our minds. The mind feels like it's moving naturally in some ways. It feels moving naturally in the direction of freedom, of release. One time, I remember asking Gil in one practice meeting I was having on a retreat. I said something like, "Does the mind know the way to freedom? It feels like that. I don't know that, but it feels like the mind is leading me." And now a different language for that, Sayadaw's language. Wisdom leads the way. Wisdom knows the way to freedom. And it does begin to feel like a very natural unfolding. In the sutta that describes the process of transcendent dependent origination that I referred to a few times this week, the Upanisa Sutta, it uses an image that one of you reminded me of in the question today. It uses the image of rain falling on a mountainside and how that rain will naturally flow downhill and gather in gullies, into streams, into little rivulets, into rivers, naturally flowing down the mountain in the direction of the ocean, and that the nature of that rain falling, just a natural direction of that rain, is to flow downhill, to gather into streams and rivulets and join into rivers that lead to the ocean. That's just the nature of it. It's a natural unfolding, and the image is one that just following the natural course of things. You know, it feels, it can feel that way sometimes. That the direction moving towards freedom is just letting go and letting wisdom and awareness do their job. Letting wisdom and awareness recognize when wholesome states are arising and they're being strengthened, when reactive states are arising, they're being released. So it is a natural process. And yet this process is described as a conditioned process. It is conditioned. That Sutta describes the entirety of this process unfolding in relationship to suffering, meeting suffering, recognizing suffering, understanding it. And that understanding, that wisdom, we are fortunate that we have found ourselves in the conditions in which we hear this wisdom, in which we have been open enough to it to be inspired to follow and engage with the teachings. And so the wisdom at first isn't that natural wisdom that is just pulling us or leading us towards freedom. It is wisdom that needs to be engaged with. And that's how the teachings are spoken to. But we have heard them. We have engaged with them. What a great thing. That condition of hearing the Dharma and hearing it at a time and a place that it can go in enough to touch that curiosity. Might this be a way? Might this be a direction? Looking over my life, I met the Dharma in my early 20s, and it didn't go in. And then I met it again in my mid-30s, and the conditions were very different. In my early 20s, things were going okay, you know? It sounded good, the Dharma, but, you know, life was pretty good. The second time I met the Dharma, life was pretty hard. And that condition of being in that place of suffering and hearing this teaching, this possibility of there might be a way to find another possibility. I had hit bottom. I tried everything I'd thought of, and here was a completely different approach. Okay, I'm willing to give it a try. What an amazing thing that the mind could hear the Dharma. That's a condition. I didn't have really control over it. That condition too is not self. I feel very fortunate to have heard the Dharma in the moment when I needed it most and was able to follow it, act on it. But again, it's like that. That's conditioning. It's conditions. It's unfolding. The question that was pointing to the image, you know, also mentioned or asked about, what about ignorance? Is that a natural process too? Yes. The conditioning, like we don't get to pick up, we don't get to decide. Especially, you know, thinking about when we're children, you know, we are in the soup of our environment, absorbing the conditions, the lessons, the understandings that are in our environment, and absorbing and processing the kind of the evolutionary tendencies towards wanting to get what I want, wanting to get rid of what I don't want, because that moment of happiness is, you know, all that we know in that moment. And so, yes, the conditions for ignorance are just as natural, just as much not self. And yet we get to experience the consequences. This is actually how our learning system works. We get to experience when we are kind of curious about what's going on, we get to experience the effects of this conditioning unfolding. And this is how our system decides what it's going to do. It experiences an effect. It likes the effect. It doesn't like the effect. And it chooses, makes actions, chooses decisions based on that. And essentially, ignorance is propelled in a cycle. The cycle of dependent origination describes how that cycle of ignorance is propelled in a very natural way. The usual cycle of dependent origination describes the natural unfolding of ignorance conditioned by suffering, conditioned by not hearing the Dharma, not understanding hearing and understanding, being present to see the way in which our mind fundamentally misunderstands the direction of happiness. Ignorance thinks it's helping us be happy, partly because the way ignorance works is to obscure the direct experience of suffering in the process of being ignorant. Ignorance is such an obscuring function. And a little bit of mindfulness, it actually doesn't take that much. A little bit of awareness with curiosity, with this perspective, points out, wow, what I thought was happiness, it's suffering. And so that's a condition that begins to point the mind in a new direction very naturally. It's all nature. We can't escape nature. This nature of the unfolding conditions, maybe freedom is the kind of escape from that. That is what the Buddha says, that the release from greed, aversion, and delusion takes us out of that, ultimately takes us out of that cycle. But while we're alive, we are in this cycle, and the teachings also point to even the dying process not taking us out of that cycle. The momentum of conditioning continues there as well. The path of practice is essentially opening to and choosing the times that we have choice, choosing the conditions, choosing the actions that move in the direction, move towards releasing greed, aversion, and delusion. Actions out of wisdom, love, happiness, generosity. And those things too are conditioned. It is said that freedom is the unconditioned. So the question might come, how does a conditioned process? Because the Buddha pointed to transcendent dependent origination. There are conditions that support the direction, movement towards the unconditioned. I love Thanissaro Bhikkhu's analogy about this. He says, the path, there's a path that can take you to the Grand Canyon. But the Grand Canyon was there before the path was there. And the path didn't make the Grand Canyon. But you have to follow the path in order to get there. So there's conditions that can lead to the arrival at the Grand Canyon. But those conditions didn't make the Grand Canyon. I understand, and Thanissaro Bhikkhu was pointing to freedom, nibbana, is not created by these conditions leading to the understanding of freedom. But we have to follow that path. Like the rain, going down the mountain. Those streams aren't creating, and those pathways, that gravity moving the water down isn't creating the ocean. It's a condition that moves the water in the direction of the ocean. And that analogy probably falls apart really quickly, so don't think about it too much. So, it's Monday. We have most of 3 days left together. And we have the meetings again this morning, so do remember to check whether your group is today. Thank you.